a motorcycle, and looked over here and seen you, church, but I've never been here. Amen. And so it's good to be in the Rogersville Baptist Temple. There we go. All right. It's kind of an unusual service here tonight. Uh-huh. I like it. I really do like this. You don't get in a lot of churches where you just feel perfect liberty.
Yeah,
and I like that.
Amen.
I like that. I got it at home.
Yes, sir.
But you don't get out much and have much of that anymore. And so I thank God for the liberty to worship here that I feel here tonight. Amen.
Amen.
And I like all these songs about getting saved and being saved. I like that.
Yes, sir.
I promised Tabernacle, I said, you bring your family and friends and co-workers and everybody else through them doors, and I promise you, if they come here, they'll hear about getting saved.
Amen.
I said, you just bring them on in here. It's a guarantee they're going to hear about getting saved.
Amen.
How wonderful it is to be saved.
Yeah.
And because of that's what we're going to do here. Our songs are going to be about being saved and
amen.
How good it is to be saved. And I'll preach along that line.
Right.
So you just go ahead and bring them on in. And there's a guarantee that they'll hear about the good salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And so I thank God for a church where you can go in and that's about all you hear.
Yeah.
I like the word saved.
Amen.
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 I didn't just turn over a new leaf and join the church.
Right, brother.
I got born again, saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
My wife testified a while ago, and she was religious but lost and made a childhood profession and so forth. And her daddy stayed on her case about you need to get to church. And we had a child and so forth, and she's mentioned that a while ago. And I needed to be in church myself, but I grew up in a little church, a little Nazarene church when I was a boy, but I didn't know God. And at 17, they quit making me go to church, so I quit, got a job, went full time and everything, and so I quit the church and didn't mess with nothing about the church from the time I was 17 till I was 25 years old. My wife came in from church one day and she said, they're going to have a tent meeting. She said, I'm going to try to go every night. I thought, well, go ahead. Just don't bother me.
Yeah.
But I knew that she would ask me sooner or later, won't you go?
Yeah.
So on Tuesday night, the question came. She said, I'm going to church this evening. Won't you go? I'll tell you exactly what I thought. I thought to myself, I'm going to go ahead and get this behind me, get it out of the way.
Yeah,
I'll go one night and get this stuff over with.
Yeah. Amen.
She'll be happy and shut her mouth.
Yeah. Amen.
And so I went on Tuesday night.
Hey.
Yes.
My birthday was on Monday. I turned 25 years old on Monday, the 25th of September. On Tuesday, the 26th of September, I went to tent meeting.
Yeah.
And I did not know
amen.
That God could take the word of God
and
prick you and put something on you that you couldn't get away from. But God did that night. I'd been to church before, but I'd never had anything to hit me like it hit me that night. And I don't remember what all he said, but I know one thing God made real to me. The wages of sin is death. And God let me know that if I didn't accept the payment that he made, I'd have to pay my own debt.
Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost between, I didn't get saved on Tuesday night. I got hit. I got pricked in the heart. That Acts chapter 2 pricked in the heart. I got that on Tuesday night, the 26th of September. Believe it or not, I went back on Wednesday night. And I did. I went back on Wednesday night. Boom, I got hit again. He drove it in a little deeper. Somehow or another, I got out of that tent. again on Wednesday night. I had to work a midnight job that night, a midnight shift, and I went to work and clocked in at midnight, worked on a truck dock all night long, and my sin was ever before me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's all I could think about.
Amen.
The wages of sin.
Yeah.
That's all I could think about.
Amen.
I pick up a box.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah. I, everything. It was just, I felt like as I was going to hell,
yeah.
I'd never make it back to Thursday night meeting. I thought I'll never make it. I went home, tried to go to bed as a daytime sleeper, and I tried to go to sleep, couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. I couldn't even think right. I had to fill out a bill there at the bill of lading there on the truck dock. I couldn't even fill out my bills. I couldn't remember my checker number. I was in bad shape, amen. I got bad shape.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thursday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, I started getting ready. I wasn't putting on work clothes.
Come on.
She come in there and looked at me and she said, "You going again?" What she didn't know and I didn't tell her was I'm a dying on the inside. I got to go. I got to go. I don't know, have you ever been there where you just got to go? You got to go. I got in that night. My flesh fought against it. My flesh fought it that night. Even then, my flesh fought it. But I want to tell you, somebody asked me, said, "When did you get saved?" I said, "Here's when I got saved. I stood there with sweat running down out of my armpits, down my sides, and it was wetting my socks. I mean, I was a sweating like I was standing in front of an earthly judge. And I was a standing there, and I've done that too.
Yeah.
But I stood there. Somebody said, "When you get saved?" I'm going to tell you when I got saved. Right here is when I got saved.
That's interesting.
Got born again right there.
Hallelujah.
When my old stinking, stubborn, selfish, sinful will broke. When it broke, and I made a move to God. Oh yeah, that's when I came. Say, "When you come to God?" Right there. I made the move. Somebody said, "Well, I would get saved, but it's so hard to get saved." That ain't hard, is it? No, no, getting saved ain't hard. It's the conviction that's so hard. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that conviction's tough, buddy. That's right. But it's good for you. It's like them labor pains before the birth. The labor pains are tough, amen. But it's all worth it, praise God, when a birth takes place, amen. And by the way, it produces joy and happiness in the family. Amen. You know, and I tell you this, I thought everybody'd be so glad when I got saved. Man, I wasn't going to go tell everybody. I thought everybody'd be tickled to death I got saved.
Yeah.
And there's about two or three people rejoice with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mama cried on me.
Yeah.
Amen. My daddy didn't know how to handle it. But he got saved later, praise God. Amen. He got saved later, amen. So I'm just saying, go ahead and get saved, amen. Just go ahead and get saved. If you ain't saved, just go ahead and get saved. It ain't all that hard, praise God. Just go ahead and take that step and get out there and get to God, amen. Yes, sir. It's just an instantaneous salvation. Yeah, I've changed before I knew it. Yeah. You don't lay your hand on a hot stove and say, "I am now being burned."
Right? Yeah, man.
No, you done burnt before you know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the good grace of God y'all shouting about a while ago. Amen. Saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll tell you this, and I don't know. I get to preaching maybe to read text in a minute. Now, I'm going to tell you this great, get saved greatest thing ever happened in my life. I got saved the week of my 25th birthday. Now, I want to also warn you about something. God dealt with me when I was a 14-year-old boy in that little Nazarene church. God dealt with me. I only been dealt with two times in my life in Holy Ghost conviction. And one time when I was 14 years old, and a man turned around in that service as a 14-year-old boy. A man in the pew in front of me turned around and looked at me, and God was a deal with me. And he looked at me in straight eye, and he said, "Are you saved?" And I lied to him. I said, "Yeah." And he turned back around and never said another word. But I'm going to tell you, when I lied to that man, the Holy Ghost left me. Conviction left. And I could have, if I'd have been honest that day, I might have could have got saved when I was 14 years old. God was a deal with me, and I lied to the man, and the Holy Ghost left.
Right, brother.
And I never remember God ever coming back to me and convicting me until the week of my 25th birthday.
Amen.
So I say to you, if God's good enough to come to you and deal with you, don't turn him away.
Amen.
Don't put it off and turn him away. You have no guarantee he'll ever come back. And it's only by the grace of God that I'm here, and the mercy of God. That mercy of God held back the wrath of God till I could get to the grace of God. That's just the way it is. But getting saved, the best thing ever happened to you. We can all testify to that. It's been saved, been to Calvary, thank God. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But thank God now I've been saved 40 years. 40 years. Now I know some of you teenagers are going to think, "Well, man, he's a antique." No. Just been around a little bit longer than you have. But I want to tell you, I'm just trying to testify to you young people. I was just 25 when I got saved. But it's the greatest thing that can ever happen to a human being. As a matter of fact, listen to me. Every single thing about my life right now goes back to that one experience with God. That's right.
Yes, sir.
My children are grown now, serving Jesus in the local church, and I got 10 grandbabies. And our family is a Christian family. It all goes back to September the 28th, 1972. I'd have probably been lost on the road to hell or in hell, and my kids would have been lost too. I'm telling you, brother, it would never turned out this way if God hadn't come to me on that Thursday night. But God came. God came. It didn't just change me. It changed my whole entire future. It changed my family. It changed our marriage. It gave us hope. Hallelujah. You talk about the youth camp and you young people come. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There'd been no Light on the Mountain youth camp if it hadn't been for September the 28th, 1972. There'd be no Light on the Mountain youth camp and those thousands that had passed through there and hundreds have gotten saved by the grace of God. There'd be none of it, friend, if there was no September the 28th, 1972. One experience. Touches hundreds and thousands of people. That's what God can do. And that's just in my little old life. What can he do? What has he done? You can read the biographies of men that God turned them around and touched millions for the glory of God. Think about Saul of Tarsus with letters in his hands on the road to Damascus, and God said, I'm tired of you doing what you're doing. I need you for something else. And God stopped him on the Damascus road. And I'm going to tell you, brother, God turned him around and touched thousands and thousands and thousands. Thank God of us old Gentile dogs. in Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
Ain't nothing better. All right. So me and my wife talking about coming up the road today, and I told her, I said, listen, I said, she's talking about how God been working her life and how she's just trying to get all the way in there with God and everything, and where nothing else mattered. And when she said that, it rung a bell, because that's where I want to live.
Amen.
I want to live.
Amen.
Where nothing else mattered.
Yes.
But Him.
Yes. Amen.
And how can I bring glory
right
to Him? Paul kind of put it like this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it to the glory of God. Well, I spent 25 years glorifying the devil. And after I got saved, I said, Lord, would you please let me live longer for you than I did for him?
Amen.
Well, I lived 25 for the devil, so I needed to live at least 50 or better. At least 25 more years, what I'm saying. I need to be over 50. Then I'm ready to check out of here. Well, praise God. I got my 25 in for the Lord. Amen. Thank God he gave me a little extra. You say, why are you saying? Well, I wanted to live longer for the Lord than I did for the devil. I brought glory to the devil, and I'm not glad of that. You're talking about going to jail. I've been in jail. Yeah, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd either be in jail or in hell.
Amen, brother.
Old Judge Warren looked at me one time, and he said, boy, you are the hardest-headed boy I've had in here lately, and I'm going to teach you a lesson. He said, you want to taste what it is to be locked up? I said, no. He said, well, you're going to get it anyhow. He said, I'm going to put you behind bars for 6 weekends. And he said, if you think you want some more of it after that, he said, you come back and see me again, I'll send you off. And old Ira Padgett, the jailer, when I walked into Cabarrus County Jail, he reached in there and he shut them old iron doors and turned the key and locked me up. Didn't take but about 24 hours, and I'd had enough of that.
I guarantee it.
I said, well, if I ever get out of here and get this off of me, I ain't coming back here.
Amen.
God can turn you around.
Yes, he does. Amen, brother.
God can turn you around, and he does. He does. Thank God for that. But you see, what I didn't realize then, I was in a bigger prison. I was in sin's prison. And I didn't know that until the sweet Holy Spirit came and showed me. I was a slave and a servant of sin and the bondage of sin. But I'm glad, thank God, Jesus set me free.
Hallelujah.
I've not got over that. I've not got over that, amen. I've not got over that 40 years. Hey. Old Billy Joe Barnhart told me, said, preacher, it'll never last. Well, he didn't call me preacher, but I wasn't a preacher back then. But he said, John, he said, it won't never last. It'll never last. That religion stuff you got hooked into, it won't never last. He said, it won't never last. I'll give you maybe 60 days, 90 days. He said, you'll be back here. He said, when you get ready, you just come on back to us. He said, you come back over here where we're at. He said, it won't last 60, 90 days. Well, after I'd been saved about 4 or 5 years, one day I pulled in a service station at a little place there to pump gas, and there stood Billy Joe Barnhart, the one who told me I wouldn't last 90 days. Yeah. I'd been saved about 4 or 5 years in. I went up to pump gas, and when I saw him standing there, I thought, this would be a good time. And so I just went over to Billy Joe, and I said, Billy Joe, you remember me? Oh, yeah, but John, he said, John, yeah, over there at the truck. Yeah, on the truck dock. I said, it's me. He said, what you doing with yourself? He shouldn't have never asked that. What you doing with yourself? I said, Billy Joe, I said, I won't tell you this. I remember you telling me it wouldn't last 60 to 90 days. And you'd give me the most about 90 days.
Yeah.
I said, Bill Joe, it's still good.
Amen.
It's still good.
Amen.
Been about almost 5 years now, Bill Joe, and it's still good.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you need.
Amen.
He bowed his head and looked at the ground. I said, no, don't look down, look up.
Amen.
Look at me now. And
Amen.
I gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God.
Yes.
You say, well, you're saying it'll last.
Yeah,
it'll last.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It'll last, it's good.
Amen.
It's not just good for time, it's good for eternity.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm just trying to get some liberty to preach here.
Yeah,
all right, I got liberty to tell what God's done. Amen.
Amen.
I got liberty to do that. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all in a hurry?
No.
Do y'all get in a hurry on Friday night? I know I don't at Tabernacle. I told them, I said, no clocks in our sanctuary. Just calendars.
Yeah.
That's right. So, by the way, who is the preacher that come up with this thing about the worship hour? Who coined that phrase? The worship hour. Come join us for the worship hour. You'll be in for surprise at Tabernacle. Amen. Thank God we come. Probably that way here too, ain't it? Amen. I can kind of tell by the way your folks respond to that. Amen. I like it. I'm like old Sammy Allen said. Sammy Allen said one time, he said, why, you come by down here at Concord Missionary Baptist Church, and why, they think we having homecoming every Sunday. They just come to stay a while, praise God.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe in dragging an old dead horse.
Right.
Now, if it's dead, dismiss, go to the house. Amen.
Amen. Right.
But thank God I still believe in prayer, praise, and preaching. It still get the job done. Don't y'all believe that?
Amen.
Why, I can tell you folks ain't afraid to praise God. Amen. Out here. If somebody get busy praying and people will praise God and the preacher will preach, I'm going to tell you, God will still do business.
Amen.
Right. Still believe that. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter number 19 tonight. Luke chapter number 19, probably some of the most familiar scripture in the New Testament. And I want to preach, and it's really difficult to come to a place and preach one night. And you got all this stuff, and you're trying to narrow it down to one message. And you get about 15 in your mind, and first thing you know, if you ain't careful, you get up there and preach, and you got a piece of this one and a piece of that one and a piece of that one because you're trying to get it all in. Amen. So I don't know how this will turn out tonight, praise God, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord ain't going to let me get away from this thing of having a real experience.
Amen.
I believe some of you have one.
Amen.
Amen. Because of the Spirit in this place, I believe you had a real experience. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God in the book of Luke, chapter number 19, and we'll read the first 10 verses. You know the story very well. Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, and he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and he came down and received him joyfully.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he's gone, was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor.
Amen.
And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Help us pray. Father, I pray tonight, God, as we come together, I pray, God, that you'd anoint, bless, and help. Oh, God, tonight in this service, thank you for the praise of God's people. Thank you for every word of testimony. Thank you for this dear pastor and the man of God and this good church. I pray, oh, God, you'd give them fruit for their labor, and may the hand of God be upon this ministry, God. Now touch us and use us and help us and touch that soul here tonight without God. I pray, God, you'd turn them around, Lord, and put them in the right direction, God. Thank you for repentance and faith that you've granted to our heart. Now, God, would you give it to somebody else here tonight?
Yes,
and we'll bless the name of Jesus and give him all the glory. It's in his name that we do pray. Amen. And thank you. And you can be seated. I'll be frank with you, friend. We're living in a day of very shallow professions and a lot of false professions. And we've already heard some testimonies. My wife gave one of them, how she made a childhood profession. And by the way, all of those are not false. Thank God there are some young people that get saved, children that get saved by the grace of God. And on down the road, they're still serving the Lord and praising God and doing the will of God for their life. And so I'm not against childhood professions. Amen. I'm not against teenagers getting saved in the church and at Light on the Mountain Youth Camp and stand up and testify. And even my friend, if they're young and got a lot of zeal but not according to knowledge, that's all right. Just love them and work with them. And thank God, not all of them, but some of them will turn out right for the glory of God. And I praise God for that. So I say to you that we've got a lot of empty, shallow professions, but can I say to you, and there's real experiences that we need to praise God for, and that's what we pray for all the time. Did you know before we ever get our camps running up on Light on the Mountain, I always get a group of men up there. Last year we had over 100 men to come on the first Friday night in June. And we have an all-night prayer meeting. And we go all over that mountain, down in the woods, back in the cow pasture, all over the place, in all the buildings. We got 2 or 3 prayer houses and on the altars in the tabernacle. We go all over that place, 21.5 acres, and saturate that place with prayer and ask God to bless and help and convict and change everybody that comes up that driveway.
Amen.
And God answers prayer, friend. And thank God there's been a multitude that came up one way and went down another, thank God. They was changed by the grace of God. They came up an old lost sinner and they went down a justified saint of God. That's what you want in your church house. That's what I want at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I remember that night I walked in that old gospel tent. I walked in a condemned sinner. But on Thursday night, thank God, I walked out a child of the King.
Amen.
Changed by the good grace of God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So I say to you tonight that there's nothing that blesses me and thrills my soul anymore than to hear about people getting saved.
Amen.
To be in services where people get saved.
Amen.
I like to read biographies of people that got saved by the grace of God and God turned them around.
Amen.
And changed them and put the will of God in their heart, and they did a great work for God, and now it's in the printed form and I can pick it up and read it and read what God did in somebody's life.
Amen, brother.
You'll do a lot better reading that than you will all this fictitious stuff.
Amen.
Read them good godly biographies of great people that walk with God. Blaze the trail ahead of us and help us to get what we got today. Thank God. I like services where testimonies break out and people get a good dose of I can't help it. Oh yeah, they just can't help it. Like Peter said, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Oh, Peter had a dose of I can't help it. Say amen. And I like it when people get that in their life. Yeah. When I got saved in a little gospel tent, we went back on Sunday morning over there where my wife had been going to church. I hadn't been going over there. But I went to the tent meeting, got saved on Thursday night, got me a Bible on Friday, and read it all day Saturday and went to church on Sunday. And when I went over there, I sat on about the third pew over there next to the wall from the front with my wife, and Bill Taylor was in the pulpit, and he said, before we go get going real good here this morning, I said, God's been good in the old tent meeting down the road here. He said, I feel like there's somebody here that needs to testify and just tell what God's done.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
He looked straight at me and I looked straight at him and I knew who he was talking about. I had never testified publicly in my life and I wasn't a fixing to.
Yeah.
He saw I was scared to death and wouldn't stand, so he looked over here and said, anybody over here, God done something for you in old tent meeting this past week? Nobody didn't say nothing. How about back here? Anybody? Finally, somebody else stood up. Said, preacher, I want to say this. And they said something. He said, all right, is there anybody else that needs to say anything? I was so scared, I'm telling you, friend, my heart was racing, and I actually sat on my hands. I put my hand on that. I thought, I ain't getting up. He said, all right, okay, turn in your Bibles. And when he said, turn in your Bibles, I have no earthly idea what happened. I was on my feet talking. You can believe that or not, friend. It don't matter to me whether you believe it or not. I'm going to tell you, brother, I don't believe in irresistible grace.
Right.
Amen. And I believe you can quench and grieve the Holy Ghost. But I mean, sometimes I know when the Holy Ghost just takes over. That was one of them that morning, praise God. God saw that I wasn't going to do it myself, so he just gave me a little help. You say, what are you telling me, preacher? I got a dose of I can't help it, praise God. I wasn't going to stand, but he stood me up. I wasn't going to talk, but he talked through me, amen. And so I say to you that God got glorified that morning, and my preacher was, boy, I'm telling you, big old smile come on his face, and God moved that through that church, amen.
Amen, brother.
Oh, yeah. God can do that if you just obey God.
Yeah.
We was in a service in the home church one time before I ever even started pastoring. And we had great singing in the church. Great singing. I mean, boy, the choir was a blessing. Special music was a blessing. Yeah. I sat on the front pew down here. This is before God ever even called me to preach. I sat over on the front pew. And, man, I about wear the seat of my britches out. Amen. I just running back and forth on that front pew. I was excited. Man, God was a blessing to me every time I went to church.
Yeah.
One night the singing was all over with. The preacher stood up and he opened his Bible. He started to announce the text, I reckon, and a little old woman by the name of Shelby Harwell. She stood up over on the preacher's right-hand side with tears running down her cheeks and said, preacher, I know that God don't use me much to sing here in this church, and y'all got plenty of good singing and everything, but she said, boy, God's had this song on my heart all day, and I've been singing it in the kitchen at home, and oh, I just feel like God wants me to sing in this service tonight. I'd never heard Shelby Harwell sing. But Preacher Trivet said, come on up. She come on up, got a microphone, and with a little trembling voice, she started singing whatever she sung. I don't remember. This is 30-something years ago. She started singing, and God came down on top of about 250 people.
Amen.
Yeah. And there wasn't a dry eye nowhere. You look around, people I'd never seen anything out of them was weeping.
Right.
People started coming, some even crawling on their hands and knees trying to get to God.
Yeah.
And God breathed His divine presence on that service.
Yes, glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
It's one of them services where God got so real you're almost scared to breathe.
Amen, brother.
You're scared to say anything, scared to death, you'll grieve the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And the awesome presence and power of God came.
Yes.
Yes.
Somebody said, y'all didn't have no preaching that night? Oh, I'm telling you, the great big old preacher showed up that night, praise God.
Amen.
You better believe we had some preaching that night.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Say, what was the message? Be still, know that I'm God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God came.
Yes.
Yes.
And after it all kind of, all the people started coming, altar filled up and all that, when it all got done, Preacher Trivet said, all right, I don't know what all's happened here tonight. If you got right with God here tonight, I want you to stand up. People's popping up everywhere. He said, if you got saved here tonight, I want you to stand up.
Hallelujah.
And people started standing up.
Amen.
People got saved. People got right with God.
Amen.
Some even got right with each other. Amen.
Right.
Now you see, some preachers couldn't handle that because it was done by the Holy Ghost on a song.
Yeah,
you're right.
Amen.
And it wasn't done on their 3 points in a poem sermon.
Right. Amen.
And a lot of preachers couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
But that's all right. If you ever been around the Holy Ghost, you won't have no problem with it.
Amen.
Praise God, I feel like I can run slap out of here, don't y'all? I'm talking about the presence of God and the power of God. Oh, the glory of God when it comes in, thank God. Why, you better just clear out a spot for them people that know God, because we fix to have a spell, amen. Yeah. Y'all come to Light on the Mountain last summer for the first time, and I'm sorry you missed Miss Judy Shipp. But Miss Judy Shipp was a worshiper, a prayer warrior, walked with God. She was about early 50s. And I'm going to tell you what, y'all remember Hannah Shipp? Hannah showed up at the camp last year. She's gotten too old now, and she's now in Pensacola Bible College. But Hannah, just old mountain girl. But I'm going to tell you, her mama, Miss Judy Shipp. Boy, I tell you, when God come on the mountain, a lot of times Miss Judy was the one to help bring him.
Amen.
Hey, first thing you know, them hands would go up in the air. And she'd get that far away look in her eyes.
Yeah.
And I promise you, when she got in the glory, you could walk up to her and you could have done up and down like that. She'd never bat an eye because she never saw you.
Amen.
It was like she's in a holy trance. You say, I don't believe in that. That's the reason you don't never get blessed. You don't believe in
that.
I don't believe in that. Well, it don't matter what you believe. God's God whether you believe anything.
Amen.
You think your not believing is going to shut God down? I don't think you're quite that big. Amen. Now, what you're doing is just robbing yourself. And hey, listen to me. If you rob yourself, then you're robbing some other people because you're influencing somebody. I don't know who you're influencing, but you're influencing somebody. And if you don't believe God, you're robbing yourself and other people as well.
Amen.
That's right. But Miss Judy died with cancer 2 Julys ago. Not the past July, but the July before. She died with cancer. And I miss her.
Yes. Come on.
But I thank God that she knew what worship was.
Amen.
You talking about the old paths? The old-fashioned way,
right.
She knew all about it.
Amen.
And I hate to see them die off. Those that's got a little taste of it, those that know what it's about, and real heartfelt worship don't scare them half to death.
Amen, brother.
Oh, somebody said, why are you just pumping up emotionalism? Call it what you want to, friend.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking about prayer, praise, and preaching.
Yeah.
I found out if there's any wildfire around, just turn up the heat on the preaching, and it'll drive the wildfire out.
Amen, brother.
Amen. But for heaven's sake, don't try to put a damper on all that goes on just because you don't completely understand it. Amen. Yes, sir. Read the book of the life story of Dr. Percy Ray. I promise you, friend, there's a bunch of stuff in that book that you won't know. You won't understand that. You won't understand that. You might as well forget it. Have you read the book? You know what I'm talking about. There's a bunch of stuff in there. You say, I don't know about that. It don't matter whether you believe it or not, friend. It don't matter. Hey, you might not understand it, but you wasn't there.
Amen.
That's right. Most anybody's really had a deep walk with God, they've had experiences, my friend. And I've had some myself, and I'm sure your pastor has, and you men of God here, you have some things happen in your life, friend. You can't run all over the country telling about it because people will think you're some kind of fanatical freak or something like that, friend. Why, you've got some things you can't even talk about.
Right. Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Paul didn't use his name in 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey.
He said, I just knew a man. He said, I just knew a man. He said, I in the body, out of the body. I just knew a man. That's all he said. Amen. I just knew a man. Amen. Thank God, yes. Well, you'll have some unexplainable things happen in your life. As a matter of fact, let me tell you this, friend. Hey, if you ain't having miracles take place in your life, you're not walking with God like you ought to. You're certainly not walking by faith like you ought to. Because when you walk by faith, hey, you were saved by grace through faith. Now walk by faith and you'll see some miracles in your life. Hey, pray the prayer of faith and you'll see some miracles.
Amen.
Walk by faith and not by sight. You'll see some miracles.
Amen, brother.
Huh? Yeah, I'm afraid our Baptist churches is kind of like old Gideon over there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When God called him that mighty man of valor, and I'm going to use you to deliver the Israelites out of the Midianites' hand. God said, I'll be with you, Gideon. He said, if God's with us, where be the miracles? Huh? Gideon said, if God's with Israel, then where be the miracles?
What a question.
Yeah.
You know what that tells me? Gideon knew that when God's on the scene, miracles take place.
Amen.
Uh-huh. But I'm mighty afraid in our Baptist churches, we got content not seeing miracles. We just kind of got used to the dark and we got used to, you know, the way it is. And we're not seeing miracles. And we're pretty well satisfied as long as we can come in, sing and shout a little bit, go to the house.
Amen.
Boy, it don't take long, brother. If you've been in the presence of God and the power of God and seen God's miracles and people's lives change and God do great mighty things, like he said over in the book of Jeremiah, I'm telling you this, you'll get thirsty and hungry. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I don't want to go to another barren service, Lord. Oh, God, let us see something for thy glory today. Bury your mighty arm. Let us see your glory and your power. Change somebody by the grace of God. Revive us again, oh, God.
Praise God, brother.
Yeah. You ever get in a dry spell spiritually? Yourself? Sure you do. Well, I got news for you. Churches go through them too. That's right. I've been at Tabernacle 35 years. I can tell you a 5-year, I can even tell you what years it was, but I ain't going to do it. I can tell you a 5-year dry spell. 5 years of a dry spell where I pastor. And I was the pastor, and I stayed with it.
Yes.
Through 5 dry years. The But somebody kept praying and somebody kept believing God.
Amen, brother.
So praise God. That's what I tell people, that, you know, somebody say, well, I don't feel this. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. I say, listen, just stay on track. Stay where you need to be. And just keep going on for
Amen.
God. And I said, God will meet you down the road. God will meet you down the road.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Just stay in your place and keep doing what you know is right. God will meet you down the road. Amen. That's exactly, hey, when you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Just stay in your place and keep doing what you know. What you know is right, praise God. And you know what I found out? I found out that God will meet you down the road.
Amen. That's your way, brother. Amen.
So when the dry spell started, I knew what caused it, and I knew what the problem was. And God, some things happened, and so it took longer than I thought. I really didn't think. I thought maybe in a couple years we could recuperate and get back on track and go again for God, because we went through some hard, hard times. But it took a little longer than I thought.
Yeah.
But we just kept staying with it, staying with it, staying with it. Watch this now. Preacher, you've been how long here? 21 years. You've been there long enough to know a little bit of what I'm talking about. When you go through a dry spell or hard times in your church, just stay with it, stay with it. Then when you've been down the road a good ways and you look back, you can see where God started turning this thing and bringing it out. Yeah. A lot of preachers don't have that kind of patience. God help us to have that kind of patience. Amen. See, wait, tell me, preacher. I'm going to tell you, now that I've been there 35 years and I look back and I just kind of look over all that took place, I can see exactly what God was doing and what he used to start turning that thing and bringing it out of that dead dry spell. After 5 years, God turned that thing around. And thank God he sparked life in it, hallelujah,
Amen.
And started using it for the glory of God again.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Oh,
boy, God can do that in your Christian life. Yes. God can do that in the church, my friend, that needs revival.
Yeah, brother.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Can do it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. You say, what's this got to do with Zacchaeus? I told you I didn't know how this was coming out, but I'm going to tell you one thing. All I want to do is leave here, and I want you to know that knowing God and walking with God is a real experience.
Amen.
Yes, brother.
Yes.
Amen.
I like it.
Some people, all they know about Jesus is what they heard in a song.
Come on,
right, brother.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
They hear other people talk about God being so good and God being so real and God doing this and God doing that. Hey, have you not had a real experience
Amen.
Yourself?
Amen.
Huh?
We
know that you can't go to heaven on somebody's coattail, but you can't live for God dragging on somebody's coattail either. No, you can't live for God off of somebody else's experience and hang around with the spiritual crowd hoping it'll just rub off on you.
Yeah, brother.
No, friend, I'm going to tell you what. You've got to humble yourself down and get it right with God yourself and get God real in you, amen. And if you had a real born-again experience, you can have a real walk with God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, why would a kid grow up in church at 17 and 18, 19 years old like I did? And as soon as he's quit made, they quit making him go to church, he goes straight to the world.
Yeah, preach right there, brother.
God in your name.
Come on.
Huh?
Amen.
Well, they grew up in church. What happened?
Right.
God ain't real.
That's
and they've not had a real experience with God.
Amen.
They might have heard it all their life.
Amen.
They heard it and they heard it till they got used to it.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Why, the song leader can even get up and call out a page number and they know exactly what that song is by the page number. They've been in the house of God so long.
Amen.
Yeah, they've been around the things of God for a long time.
Yeah.
But God ain't real.
Amen.
God ain't real. because they've never had a real experience with God.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Man.
You're nailing it, preacher.
Somebody said, well, you know, fella just told me this last week, said, I'm saved, I'm just backslid, and he laughed about it. No. You're a real backslider, you ain't laughing.
That's right, brother.
Boy, that's the truth.
Amen.
You ain't no laughing backslider, friend.
That's right.
There ain't no joy in backsliding. There ain't no joy in stepping out of the will of God.
Amen.
No, sir, friend.
Amen.
No, you get cold in heart and calloused against God, right, miss brother. God's will for your life. I'm telling you, friend, you're miserable.
Yeah.
Huh? Why, you can even go to the Old Testament and find that out.
Yeah. Right.
How much more would we know it with the indwelling Spirit of God living in us?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah, you tell me how much joy Jonah had. He wasn't no joy in Jonah when he went opposite where, what God told him to do.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And there won't be no joy in anybody.
Amen.
Knows God and walks away
right,
in
brother.
A disobedient
right.
fashion.
Right.
It's not just a sinner, it's a saint of God. He gets out of God's will. But I'm going to tell you this, the way of the transgressor, I don't care who it's
hard.
In, the way of the transgressor is hard.
Amen.
Yeah. But the reason I read Zacchaeus is because Zacchaeus had a real experience with God.
Amen.
He had a real experience.
Yeah, he did.
And if we could resurrect him and call him into the service tonight, I know there's at least four things that Zacchaeus would tell us.
Uh-huh.
Number one, Zacchaeus would say to us about the Savior. He'd say, I'll tell you one thing about Jesus. He knew me before I ever knew him. Oh, thank God. Old Zacchaeus knew that Jesus knew who he was. They had never met. He had heard. He was curious. He wanted to see him when he passed by. But being of short stature, he climbed the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus got in the right place. And by the way, let me show that to you. Go to Luke chapter 19, verse number 5. And when Jesus came to
the place.
When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Well, guess what? Zacchaeus was looking down. Zacchaeus was looking down. Jesus looked up. Their eyes met.
Amen.
And look at what happened here. Jesus said unto him, Zacchaeus, now wait a minute. They've never met.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yes, praise God.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Jesus looks up in the tree and calls him by his name.
Amen, brother.
Zacchaeus, make haste. That means get in a hurry. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So I say to you that if we had Zacchaeus here in the service tonight, he would say he knew me before I ever knew him.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what does he know about me? He knows who I am.
Right.
He knows what you were.
Amen.
Did you know he knows where you were?
Right.
Yes. And he knows exactly what we need.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Do you remember when God looked your way? I done told you about my little experience, but could I say to you, do you remember when God looked your way?
Amen.
You remember that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He looked your way, and he knew exactly what you were.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He knew exactly what we were.
Yes.
Well, he knew what I needed, and so he brought to Zacchaeus exactly what he needed. Now, look, in the last part of verse number 5, it is, in verse number 5, he said, I must abide at thy house.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when he called Zacchaeus down out of the tree, he said, I got to go home with you.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
Come
Come on now, Zach. I got to go home with you. I must abide at thy house. Now, there's no record here where he's even invited. Hey, I got a question for you. Is Jesus welcome at your house?
Amen, brother.
Huh? Is he?
Amen.
Is Jesus welcome up at your house?
Come on, brother. Preach, brother.
Here's the second thing old Zacchaeus would have said. He said, not only did he know me, he wanted me. He knew me who I was. He knew what I was. He knew where I was. He knew what I needed. But he wanted me anyhow. Amen. You've heard the song, if you'd known me before I knew him. I'm telling you, brother, he did know us before we knew him. Amen. Oh, yes. That past that we can remember that God chooses to forget. I'm telling you, he loved us in spite of the past.
Amen, brother.
While we were yet sinners. I want to ask you a question. How many of you got under conviction and started cleaning up, trying to do the best you could? You went through a little cleanup campaign before you got saved.
Amen.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lord was dealing with you, and the first thing you know, you're trying to quit this and quit that, and start this and start that.
Amen.
And I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start going to church.
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing better. I'm going to quit my cussing and blah, 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 all this stuff. You're going to make all these promises to God, and you can't live none of them.
Amen, brother.
That's exactly right. Happy day, thank God, when Jesus comes, and it's not just a little cleanup campaign going on in your life.
Amen.
I got under enough conviction one time in my life before I ever got saved by the grace of God. I got around some people that knew God, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to do better. And I tried to start doing better. And you know what I found out I was doing? When I was with one crowd, I was living one way. But when I was with the other crowd, I was doing it the other way. And the first thing you know, if you ain't real careful now, real careful, stuff will slip out. And you say, I'm with the wrong crowd.
Amen.
I didn't mean for that to come out. That fits over here at this crowd. I'm telling you, brother, it's a miserable life trying to live a double life. A double life, a double life. It's a miserable life. Happy day when you get delivered from all that mess. Amen. Thank God when you just be yourself and not play the hypocrite. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Oh, happy day, thank God. Yes, sir. Yeah. I wrote the word for an old boy by the name of Gary Childers. And old Gary, I'd be my wife and trying to act right. I'd get out of her car and jump over into Gary's car because he was going to run me down to Charlotte to my job. And so I'd get out of her car trying to act right and get in his car. And he was one of them. He's one of us. Amen. And I could just say anything I wanted to say around him.
Yeah.
It just come out naturally around him. But then I have to go home next morning and act right around her. And then when her daddy come around, he was a preacher. I really had to behave myself right then. You know what will fix all that? A real experience with God. It'll fix their building. Yeah. Yeah, some of y'all do pretty good around the right people. You'll do pretty good as long as you're around the right people. And I'm not advocating to get with the wrong crowd. No, a thousand times no, praise God. I believe you come out from among, be a separate, said the Lord.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, that's for the children of God. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we just got these little shallow professions that ain't really changed our life. And brother, we kind of go with the flow with whoever we with.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Not good, young people.
Amen.
Not good, mamas and daddies.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh. You need a real experience like Zach has had.
Right,
amen.
Yes, sir.
You need a real one.
Amen,
you say, well, how in the world can you be so sure that his was real?
Oh yeah.
Well, let's take a look at verse 8. Everybody knew he was a publican, a tax collector.
Uh-huh.
Tax collectors were very rich.
Amen.
Had plenty of everything. Look at verse number 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord. Huh? Wait a minute now. He's calling Jesus Lord.
Amen.
Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Huh? Have you got assurance of salvation yet here?
Amen, brother.
Why, if somebody, if God would save one of your relatives or one of your friends, and the first time they come to church, they put 10% in the offering plate, you'd say, glory to God.
Amen.
On the first trip to church, they tithe.
Amen.
They really must be saved.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen.
Well, on the day that Zacchaeus got saved, he said, half of my goods, 50%, half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, why would you doubt his salvation? Why? Most of the people in this church ain't even had that kind of experience. After all these years of professing salvation, you ain't come close to 50%. So let's don't doubt Zacchaeus. Half of my goods I give to the poor, and if. Now this is what tax collectors are known for, taking advantage of people. But notice Zacchaeus says, if I have taken anything from any man. I like that. Underline that word any. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So if he robbed him of 1,000, he's paying back 4.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Took advantage of him.
Yeah. Right, brother.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good restitution, ain't it?
Amen.
Yes,
if I done you wrong, I'm going to not only make it right, I'm going to pay you back 4 times.
Right, brother.
Praise God.
Now, would anybody here doubt his salvation?
No. Come on.
Huh? Could you not believe that his heart has been changed?
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Yeah. Well, there's another fella in the Bible. We call him the rich young ruler. He had much wealth.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
He had enough religion to take him to hell, I reckon.
Yes. Amen, brother.
He come mighty close to getting saved because even Jesus himself said, one thing thou lackest.
Yeah.
But the one thing that he lacked is the one thing that he wouldn't deal with, and therefore he went away sorrowful.
Yeah. Right.
But thank God Zacchaeus had a real experience.
Amen.
He didn't go away sorrowful, thank God. He had a real experience.
Amen.
And thank God he gave half his goods to the poor and made restitution to anybody that he took advantage of. I'm telling you, friend, a real experience will produce. My fourth point is, if we had Zacchaeus here, he would say, Jesus not only saved me, but that salvation changed me.
Amen.
And your pastor's done hit on this tonight. Matter of fact, I thought he was fixing to get on my message there. He's talking about how the first of the service are about how God changed you when he saved you.
Yes, sir.
And that's exactly right. I just simply put it like this. No change, no salvation. Y'all believe that?
Yes, sir.
No change, no salvation. Now I got enough sense to know that it depends on how far out there you were and what you delved in as to how visible it might be. There's some people, my friend, that's grew up in the things of God, and they've not been out yonder and done all the things that some of us done. But I'm going to tell you, they still need to be saved by the same grace we got to be saved by. But what I'm saying is that all that world and the flesh that we was involved in, they've never been there.
That's right. Man, brother.
And so their testimony and their change might not be quite as evident.
Right.
And sad to say, if we ain't real careful, we'll seem to get more blessed by somebody that's been out there, way out there in the depths of sin, than it would be somebody that grew up in the things of God and maybe didn't get saved till they was about 12, 13 years old. And now when they stand up and they're a teenager, they don't have the testimony of that other one that's been out there and done all they've done. And it seems like people get blessed out of that one more than they do this one. No, girls, praise God. And boys, I tell you, stay with God. Stay with God. Don't go out there and taste the world. Don't go out there and sow to the flesh. Have a good, clean testimony. Yeah. Yeah. I would to God, and some of you adults need to agree with me and stand up and shout about it. I would to God a cigarette never touched my lips. I would to God I'd never popped the top on any kind of a cigarette.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Randy Robbins is in the service. Stand up, Brother Randy. Stand up. How old was you when you got saved? 5 years old.
Amen.
When he got saved.
Amen. Amen.
The very things I'm preaching about right now, he's never done them.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I sat at his daddy's feet.